Well, this is my first time in the new auditorium, and I feel like I'm in the Holy of Holies.
Welcome, brother.
4 months ago, I was in Thailand, and I had the privilege of commissioning 5 new AEFI church planters in Thailand. It was a very exciting and wonderful experience. But I was also disturbed, greatly disturbed in my heart, because there are only 0.5% Christians in Thailand. That is, after 500 years of evangelical witness and evangelism. And I'll be sharing more about that later. I hope it disturbs your heart to hear this kind of statistics. I hope it moves you to love and good works and prayer and seeing what you can do. And I'll be sharing more about that later. Can I just read Acts 8, the first 8 verses, because it's integral to my message. And if you can turn to Acts chapter 8, I'll just read verses 1 to 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. In this passage, and the passage that was read to us, Acts chapter 8, we see God's surprising strategy. Now, strategy is a word that is used and bandied around in many circles, in corporate circles, in businesses, and even in the church, and even in missions. We use this word strategy. We think we have to come up with some grandiose plan of evangelism and reaching the world. We think we need to stay up at night thinking of what we can do. What is our strategy? But dear folks, here it is revealed to us that God is the one who orchestrates the strategy for missions. Missions is the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Furthermore, we His people, we the church, the ordinary people, laymen and laywomen, are the ones who need to get on board with God's strategy. You see, God is the one who has the master plan, and He is inviting us, graciously inviting us, to come on board with His strategy. Let me give you a summary of this book of Acts. The book of Acts can be summarized in Acts 1:8. It's up there. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So this is God's strategy for the church. And Acts 8:1, the passage that I just read, It says, on that great day, persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Do you see what's happening? Acts 8:1 is the fulfillment of Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 said you have to go to all these places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Perhaps the church was slow. And so God brings about this persecution and scatters the church. The result is that Acts 1:8 is fulfilled. Amazing. And this passage helps us to get a handle on how to respond when persecution breaks out, as it did in Acts chapter 8. And God is not interested, dear folks, in our comfort ultimately. The one thing that consumes the Lord God is the spread of His glorious message. And God is going to bring about the expansion of the gospel, whether we like it or not. And here are three aspects of this passage. Number one, God uses persecution to extend His mission. In chapter 7, we read about Stephen, who was brutally killed, the first martyr. He preached a wonderful sermon. And after that sermon, he was killed. It was a sad day for the church. When we think of persecution today, let's remember it started the day the church started. Persecution is not new. And persecution is the norm. It is not the exception. And even in the West, there are interest groups and organizations that are redefining morality and redefining ethics and are relentlessly attacking the Word of God. We have to be prepared, dear friends, for persecution to break forth into our shores. On the day of Stephen's death, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. The first time the word persecution appears in Luke's letter. For the first time, rank and file members are affected and the church is in disarray. Persecution is not the time to retreat from mission. Persecution is part of the mission plan of God. You know, if there's a fire here and I'm stomping my feet trying to put out that fire, the embers of the fire will be blowing in the wind and they will go and start new fires everywhere. That's what's happening here. The enemy brings persecution. But the gospel goes and brings new members into the fold of God. And we see in this passage too, Saul is introduced in verse 3 of chapter 8. Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. The word destroy, Paul destroyed the church. It's a very tame rendition of the actual Greek word. The Greek word is ravaged. Paul was like an animal, a wild animal, going from place to place, trying to bring people who knew Jesus Christ and put them into prison. The relentlessness of this man. But this is not the end of the story. In chapter 9, this man, Saul, is gloriously saved. He has a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's transformed. He becomes one of the greatest evangelists and church planters. And he is attributed to writing more than 2/3 of the inspired letters of the New Testament. And so, just in his life, we see Acts 1:8 being fulfilled. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. So don't buy the lie that people cannot change. God is in the business of changing people, persecutors, terrorists, with the eyes of faith and the mind of prayer. We need to look to God to change lives and to extend His kingdom. Persecution is not the time to retreat from mission. Persecution is part of the mission plan of God. Number two, God uses ordinary believers to extend His mission. Let's be clear. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. They had a kind of an oversight of the whole church. It was the ordinary believers who were scattered, chased out of Jerusalem. Can you picture this? Thousands of Christians chased out of their comfortable homes, running just with the clothing on their back, whatever things they could carry, running, men, women, children. Where to? Where did they run to? They did not hide. They did not run to caves to hide, to take cover. It says in verse 4, those who had been scattered preached. Dear folks, is that what you would do? When you are going through the severest persecution, proclaiming the good news, that's what it means. They preached wherever they went. Ordinary believers. Remember, the apostles stayed put in Jerusalem. The secret? They were so filled with the reality of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the crux of the issue. If you are filled with this reality of Jesus, you cannot help but share. In good times, in bad times, in season and out of season. Because the reality of Jesus fills you. And that's all you know. Persecution is not the time to retreat from mission. Persecution is part of the mission plan of God, and ordinary believers are used to scatter the gospel. And here it is where we are introduced to this man, Philip. Philip is not the apostle here. He is a deacon. He is a layman. And we are told that in verses 5 to 8 that he went to Samaria. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs, they paid close attention. Many were delivered. It's interesting that Philip went to Samaria because the Jews do not associate with Samaritans. We saw that in John chapter 4. Historically, the king of Assyria brought Babylonians. We read this in 2 Kings. He brought Babylonians into the nation in Samaria. And they intermarried with the Jews, and a half-breed race, half Jew, half Samaritan, half pagan rather, half Assyrian, and they were called Samaritans. And these Samaritans also brought all their pagan practices, their magic, and blended it with the faith. It is to these people that Philip went to Samaria. And the result was a wonderful result. Deliverance from demons. With shrieks, impure spirits came out, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. God in His mercy performed signs and miracles. Does God work in signs and miracles today? Absolutely. In countries and in nations where there's all kinds of spiritism and animism and black magic and demonism, God in His mercy uses His servants to bring deliverance. And I like the word deliverance, because that is what happens to all of us. Becoming a Christian, dear friends, is not just turning over a new leaf. It is to be delivered from the kingdom of Satan to God's eternal kingdom. Don't forget that. It is a deliverance that can only be done through the Holy Spirit. The result of this meeting, of this time that Philip had in Samaria in verse 8, is that there was great joy. And that's what happens when the gospel is preached, when people respond, there is great joy. God uses ordinary believers to extend His mission. The mission of God may be going very slow these days. You know why? Because we are thinking, oh yes, the missionaries will do it. The pastors will do it. No. One day we have to stand before a living God who says to us, I gave you all the opportunity. I gave you gifts. I gave you talents. God wants to use you, ordinary believers, to extend His mission. Number three, God sends His servants to specific areas to extend His mission. So, Philip was having a revival meeting in Samaria. That's what we can call it. Night after night, crowds gathered, people getting healed, people getting delivered, the message going into concentric circles of blessing. And the Holy Spirit comes to Philip and says to him, I want you to leave this and go somewhere else. Would you have done it? I don't know whether I would have done it. I would have questioned God and said, well, you know, we're having such a great time here. People are getting saved. Samaritans! But we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And this is a great issue in the church today. We can be so caught up in all our programs that we are not listening to what the Spirit is saying to us. And Philip obeys and he goes and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch and he is reading the Word of God loudly. In those days they used to read the Word loudly. And it's amazing that Philip just asks a very simple question. And not just a simple question, but then an amazing answer as well. Philip said to the man, "What do you understand what you're reading? You know, do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian answered, "How can I understand unless someone explains?" Dear folks, I believe there is someone in your neighborhood who is probably asking this question. How can I understand? How can I make sense of the world? Is there a God? Why are all these things going on in my life? There is someone who is asking that question. Wouldn't it be great if God would bring you, as He did Philip, to this person who is asking that question? And all you have to do is to share the reality of Jesus that you have experienced, and to bring that person into saving faith through Jesus Christ. Philip doesn't waste hours and hours of dialogue and conversation. He went to the crux of the matter. He picked a ripened fruit, so to speak. And he does it so effortlessly. That's what happens when we surrender and give God the lead and ask Him to lead us. And we just follow what He wants us to do. That's what will happen. Never underestimate the work of the Holy Spirit in sending forth ordinary believers to extend His gospel. No borders can separate us. Physical borders, cultural borders, social borders, ecclesiastical borders, because God is on mission. God is strategically on mission, and He wants you to join Him in the greatest enterprise of all time, to make disciples of the nations. Amen. I told you that I was in Thailand 4 months ago. I heard of this woman. Her name is Tang Mo. She is a very famous Thai actress. 2 years ago, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But mysteriously, she died. Her body was found in the Bangkok River. And because she was a Christian, they had a funeral service, a Christian funeral service. In a church like this, there were about 150 members in the church. But because she was so famous, they decided to live stream the funeral service. The funeral service went for 3 days, by the way. And 12 million viewers saw her funeral service. Hundreds of people wrote to the church through email and through the internet and through text message and asked, "How come your funeral services are so filled with hope? We know nothing of this in Buddhism." Not only people in Thailand, but the Thai diaspora in UK, US, Canada, Malaysia, all wrote and asked about Jesus Christ. The next Sunday, the church was filled, double the size, and churches in the Bangkok area were all full because thousands of people wanted to know more about Jesus. The pastor who conductor at the funeral service said to me, this was the largest evangelistic outreach in the history of Christianity in Thailand. And the amazing thing is, number one, we did not plan it. We didn't have a planning committee. Number two, we didn't have to spend a single dollar. God was the one orchestrating this whole movement for Him and for His glory. Dear folks, God uses persecution to extend His mission. God uses ordinary believers to extend His mission. God sends His servants to specific areas to extend His mission. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. As God has spoken to us this morning through His word, what is your response? What is your response? Father, we pray for a great season of gospel expansion in our city, in our state, in our nation, in our world. May we be brought close to You during these days, Lord, to hear Your voice and to do Your bidding. May nothing hinder us. May nothing hinder the blessed gospel from flowing from our lips, from our hearts. And so, Father, help us to share Jesus Christ in the best of times and in the worst of times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much for your message, brother, and what a great challenge and also encouragement. How God can do far greater than anything that we could comprehend. So thank you very much for that. And tonight we have Daryl Thatcher from Wycliffe Bible Translators coming to share with us. So I encourage you to come out tonight to continue our encouragement and look into missions work. Thank you. My tongue got tied. Before we head out to a lovely time of fellowship, let's close this part of the service off with our next song, You Alone Can Rescue. Please stand with me as the music starts.